pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it might be that's on your mind. We'll kick it off here with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News here in about a half hour. And the 10 o'clock hour, my friend Dick Brubaker, former state senator from Montgomery, will be with us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, state senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion in his usual time slot, will join us. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. I guess there's still some play-by-play here with this Lindsey Clancy trial. I don't know. We could get a verdict at any moment, so we're on verdict watch. The jury sent a note to judge a Clancy trial, so there's your there is your update there on that. We haven't spent a lot of time on this, but this continues to come up in conversation, at least for me. And I know it's like it's sports ball adjacent, if you will. But what the SEC, the Big Ten have done blocking professional athletes, are one-time professional athletes, and disqualifying them from competition. So I guess it underscores this, and this tells you, I guess, the lesson here. And I don't know, I mean, we're obviously in Alabama where college football's on a lot of people's minds, college athletics in general. And it seems like it's a big deal. It may not be a big deal inside the Beltway. I mean, I'd go to the watering holes on Saturday, and it was full of Virginia Tech fans, so maybe I'm wrong about that. But Congress not acting, it's sort of this deteriorating state of college athletics where it looks like we're headed towards some kind of super conference that's semi-pro. But, 100 years ago, Congress was very involved in a lot of this. When college football started to really kind of gain popularity in the 20th century, and then you started having like real injuries and deaths, the federal government got engaged. Now it's, you know, first world problem here in the money and the sort of this proliferation of name, image, likeness, and fifth year of eligibility, and sort of like what happened after COVID that opened the floodgates here. Betty Ocko coming back to college and then getting ruled against at Alabama. But there's three current players on NFL rosters wanting to be eligible to play college athletics. That's fine. I'm kind of getting to the point where, you know, we either need to, like, NCAA is kind of feckless at this point. And my guess is every time the NCAA tries to do something, they get slapped down by some random judge somewhere. So with the judiciary is this heavily involved, there's got to be some kind of legislative response. I suppose there could be an executive order, but then the judiciary would slap that down too from the president. But I know it's been a big topic on Feinbaum's show a little bit, and I've been kind of tracking it. But like I got to thinking, like, well Congress has these proposals, and no one really agrees on what Congress should do in Congress. A lot of the action you're seeing is coming out of the Senate. Ted Cruz with a bill no one really likes, but he partnered with a Democrat, so what do you expect? But whatever it is, and whoever does it, Democrat, Republican, that Congress has to act. And this is kind of true. You know, those of you who complain about debts and deficits and the SAVE Act, or if you're on the left, why don't we just socialize medicine or whatever? You know, those of you who are kind of sports ball people, this here is a good illustration of just how things have gotten in the legislative branch in your federal government, the gridlock, and just getting something done to not have this, this chaos, making up rules as we go along, convening conference meetings a week before the season starts, sort of emergency last ditch effort before a season starts to determine who's eligible to play in our league. This should be, at this point, the legislative branch of the federal government should be very involved. And maybe it's just this, it's a good issue to get people kind of interested and maybe even engaged during an election cycle. Maybe. But knowing full well that nothing's going to pass. So we could talk about it. We could pat ourselves on the back. We could get out our pom-poms, wear our school shirt, and say we tried to fix college athletics. And knowing that whatever it is that we put out there will be opposed on some, you know, be it legitimate policy grounds or just I don't like the guy who is sponsoring on the other side of the aisle, so I'm just going to be against it and you don't have my vote. As they would call this a wedge issue. It's just maybe it's dominating the discussion on the sports talk airwaves, barely getting a mention on the political airwaves. We're more concerned about, you know, I was listening to, you know, beef prices or whatever it may be, flock cameras. But, you know, those people who gravitate toward sports spoken word, they vote too. Their vote counts as much as our vote, the hyper-engaged political side of the equation. So I don't know how you weaponize it, how you make it a campaign issue that you can run on an election. But the lesson here is you see what's going on and you know it's not good. And you know there's several different rulings and several different, competing edicts, different states with their own take. And this would be under the purview of the federal government. And they're not able to do anything about it, just based on the culture there. Tommy Tuberville talking big about what he wants to do to kind of fix a situation with crime, particularly Montgomery. I do think you'll see some kind of, once Tuberville's sworn in, I do think you could see the, at least not in an enhanced Aaliyah presence, but certainly a National Guard presence. And we still kind of are wondering, well, what's going to happen with Pritchard? I don't know. I mean, like, does anybody ask Kay Ivey? Well, you can't ask Kay Ivey because we don't even know if she's in, well, what state, mental state she's in. Maybe she'll show up with her Auburn shirt on for College Colors Day. Gas prices are still being weaponized by our friends in the media. I see right now on MS Now, and this is very clever what they're doing. They've been playing this today, and it's kind of stunning. But they're right. Every time Donald Trump talks about how gas prices are coming down, and they go through the different times and it's different speeches when he said that, and they have the price of gasoline, and they do it in a progression. So starting in April, May, June, and then all the way through the summer, gas prices continue to come down, and there's the gas price. And then a month later, he says the same thing, and there's the gas price, which is higher. Now, maybe they're cherry-picking a little bit here, but that's effective messaging. He's a liar! That doesn't help your cause. But, that's going to be effective, guys. And I know some of you will text me and tell me, well, I'll just pay a little bit more for gas if it means we're going to be safe and there's no nuclear missile headed straight for the port of Mobile. I mean, as if that were a threat. But they've been doing that today. Whoever thought of that? That's Democratic Party messaging right there that they got to overcome. Crude oil trading, West Texas Intermediate, about $83 a barrel. It's down a little bit today. That sweet spot, 70, 67, 70 bucks. You get up to 90 and then you really have some problems. We got about, let's see, another week and some change of the summer blend. Prices will go down after Labor Day. That's typical. They change the blend and it's a lower cost blend. That's what they did with the gas tax. The gas tax, when it's set to increase in Alabama, they always time it right around Labor Day so that when it does go down or go up, that there's a corresponding price decrease for the blend that changes. They know what they're doing, hoping you wouldn't notice. But we're doing it because we want to rebuild Alabama's crumbling infrastructure. So you got to feel better about that. Lastly here, before we go to the break real quick, I really kind of hammered it yesterday. The prison authority approved a $195 million bond issue for the Escambia County. So $200 more million dollars, guys. Not a big deal, right? At least it's not a $200 billion bond. Okay, thank you. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. Hit us up on the text line. Todd Stacy up in the next segment. Unnamed texter. It's not about a nuke coming to Mobile Bay. It's about a nuke in Israel to start a World War III. Okay, but when I when I talk about it, people text into the program about some kind of nuclear threat to the American homeland. And I was kind of mocking them. Why not keep the same blend all year? They don't even make sense. I don't know. I don't understand the science of it. The car does, your automobile does different things based on the weather. So maybe you could tinker with the blend as a result of that. That is only effective messaging to idiots from Squirrelverine. Sean, I don't want the government to get involved in sports. Get rid of the NCAA. Let conferences handle themselves. But then you're going to have conferences that won't compete, that won't play each other. You know, that's a good... What you want is... You want to see Southern Cal play Georgia or whatever. You know, whatever it is. You know, that's just... If you start doing it by conference, then you're going to take something away from it. Jeff, remember that song, I Can't Drive 55? Now that I'm 60, it seems what was the lower limit is now the ceiling. That was like a Democrat solution. Everybody has to do their part. We'll lower the speed limit as if people will adhere to the speed limit and do their part because gas prices are high. It's the right thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have to all do our part to overcome the OPEC oil cartels. Yes, I don't know. Make of that what you want to. I don't see that in the future here. You know, and there's just way more people driving. There's more automobiles on the road than there's ever been. We've imported a lot of immigration. This is what you see in a lot of major American cities, like Los Angeles. I'm talking about how traffic's just out of control, but it's because... You bring in 10 million people a year. Let's assume 1 in 10 of those at least are driving. You have a million more cars on the road every year. I mean, that's not a drop in the bucket. So they're adding more roads, more capacity. We need an extra lane, but that's sort of it. You know, 50 years ago, a 4-lane interstate, wide open. Bypassing all these little towns between these control cities. And just steadily over time, especially as cars became more affordable, everybody drives. We're not a country that relies on like mass transit. We never built for a train system, rail, like they have in some of these other countries. We built interstate highways. Eisenhower built interstate highways, national defense, the ability to kind of move the troops around. Like, you know, it's what the Germans and the Autobahn. So we did the same thing. And it was a big Cold War thing. Now, without the Cold War, without this threat of any kind of invasion or whatever, that it's about public transportation, and there's just varying ideas on how to approach that, which some people would eliminate the combustion engine. One more here, Joel. They're not adding no more refineries, go figure. They're adding refineries all over the world, and that's making oil more of a commodity that's in demand. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. This time, little doctor, you'll have-
tornado across the western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fence ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, what you got to do, you got to hit us up on that text line. And once we get your text, I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. Joining us now on the line, he is publisher of Alabama Daily News, also of Inside Alabama Politics. New edition of that out today. I encourage everybody to go check that out. And he is also the host of Capital Journal. You can see that typically on Friday nights when there's not some other event that preempts it, but also on Sundays. Todd Stacey is with us. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on this morning. We always appreciate the time. Well,
and you're right about preempting, because it's now high school football season, and been some pretty big games on Fridays, Thursdays and Fridays. So yeah, like we ended up getting a lot more viewers on for Capital Journal, because we'll come on after the high school football games, and that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's something that I wouldn't say that I'm an expert on public television, but that's something that seems to kind of
it works.
Yeah, it works. But I think something we could appreciate, especially when you're able to take, like, okay, you look at the entirety of the state, you're able to pick a big game, right?
Yeah. So like last night it was Opelika versus Hoover. So, I mean, come on, those are two monster programs. Yeah, those are
ESP and Ocho level matchup there, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are huge programs, and, like, who doesn't want to see that? You know, I mean, the week before that, it was Thompson versus Phoenix City, you know, so the game of the week. But what they'll also do is have some smaller teams, you know, some, you know, 2A and 3A teams that would never be on television. But man, those fan bases get into it. Hey, we're the game of the week. And so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. I can rally behind public television embracing that. Yesterday, and it kind of showed up on the radar earlier this week out of nowhere. The Corrections Finance Authority plussing up the funding for the prisons, $195 million, and raising the bond ceiling. Can you talk to us a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, so the Alabama Corrections Institutions Finance Authority, this is the board essentially that authorizes, you know, how to finance prisons. This is the authority that authorized, you know, up to $700 million for the construction of the Elmore prison that's almost finished. We kind of hope that it's almost finished. But going back to 2021, when this prison plan was started, it wasn't just the Elmore prison. There were supposed to be two major men's prisons, one in Elmore County, one in Escambia County, where Holman is located. So this bond authority yesterday authorized up to $195 million of bonds, right? Meaning they can now go to the bond market and borrow money to finance that prison in Escambia County. Now, it's important to note, we're spending more on these prisons than we had ever thought. I think a lot of that's due to inflation, and a lot of that's due to increased costs. If we had started this back in 2015 or even earlier, we probably would have spent a lot less money, but, you know, the state is trying to get it done. And so between this $195 million plus other state funding. They're trying to get this second prison built in Escambia County to replace essentially Holman.
Should we be surprised the feds haven't? I mean, that was sort of the impetus here. We got to do this or this will happen. And they seem to, at least based, I don't know if it's based on what we're doing or something else going on, but they've seemed to kind of, you know, kind of eased up a little bit.
You mean like
the threats of a takeover, like take yeah, over. The lawsuit? We haven't heard as much about that as we once had, maybe, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I always kind of thought, I mean, the last time we really saw that was California back in the 90s, and it went really badly in terms of, you know, federal takeover, prisoners being let out of jail. It went really badly. And so I don't think the federal government ever wanted to do that. Judges are different. They're not exactly DOJ. So I never really thought that was going to happen. At the same time, it was important for the state to act. I mean, we have some horrible prison conditions, absolutely horrible, you know, dilapidated out. I mean, some of these prisons were built in the 40s. They don't have air conditioning. You know, some of that, I mean, think about just if your air conditioner went out in your home, how uncomfortable you would be. But think about a tin can like a prison can be. So it's pretty bad. And so I think the state is right for doing this. It's just nobody anticipated the price tag. I mean, you're talking about at the end of the day, maybe $1.5 billion for two prisons. That's a lot of money.
You think it's going to stop here? I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I just, you know, I guess we at least got to be open to that possibility that they'll come back for even more once they get down the road on the Escambia facility.
No, it's not. No, we're going to have to replace a lot of prisons. And that's the thing. If we were spending, you know, $1.5 billion on building a bunch of new schools around the state, I think people would generally support it, right? Hey, we need new schools. Nobody wants to spend money building prisons, but it's essential. We have to have it. And you also can't be like tough on crime unless you have somewhere to send criminals. And so it's just it's a function of state government that's not fun, but has to be done.
Yeah, and that's been the rub over the years, predating Governor Ivey and even Bentley. It was like, well, we don't let them suffer in you know, in the tin can without the air conditioner. They committed a crime. The problem with that mentality, there's an Eighth Amendment requirement here.
I was about to say, you know, you have the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of bound by that, and that's where these lawsuits have come from. And it's easy to say, like, okay, well, you know, the federal government's suing us and the judges are tough on us and all this. Like, some of this came from the Trump administration, right? Like the first Trump administration, like J-Town, some of those lawsuits,
and those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is not some kind of, you know, crazy lib kind of thing. This is like basic, criminal justice, you know, human rights kind of thing. And so yeah, we really I think, like a lot of things, I mean, the Ivey administration just had to suck up and do it, and it's not been fun, but it's been necessary.
How long do you think, I mean, it's going to go well into the Tuberville administration? I guess they're gonna have to pick up the ball and run with it. This is not going away anytime soon. This prison will take 2-3 years, I would think, with Escambia County.
I think the hard work has already been done in terms of the borrowing authority. that's one of the things about the Abbott administration. They're between this and the toll. The toll authority also had a meeting yesterday. Both in the same room, right side by side, like they're going ahead and doing the hard stuff before the next administration comes in. So I think the hard part, the borrowing money, which nobody, you know, again, it's unpopular, but I think the hard part's already been done.
Joined by Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal here on the program. Have you been feeling the attention we're dedicating to data centers and flock cameras? Because when we talk about state politics on this program, at least, that seems to be the where the gravity is pulling us.
I'm not surprised by that, in terms of listeners and all that. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the legislative session. That's coming up in February, if there's anything that the legislature wants to do. I'm not sure what there is to do. You know, so last year during the legislative session, they scaled back a lot of the incentives that the state has for data centers. You know, so like during the Bentley era, we were really generous in attracting data centers with lots of money. Say, hey, come locate here, which I kind of understand. You know, when Google comes to town and Facebook, Meta, Apple comes to town, hey, let's roll out the red carpet. We're wanting to get all this. That was back in like 2015, 2016. Well, there's more concern now. So the legislature has already scaled back incentives for those projects. Maybe we could see more of that. What I'm curious about is how much home rule do they give counties and cities?
Yeah.
Because, you know, home rule is very limited in Alabama. And some of your listeners know that term, home rule, in terms of how much county commissions, city councils, the authority that they have under the Constitution, under the Alabama Constitution, to do what they want and to have their own control. It's not a lot, especially at the county level. And so I'm curious how much the counties are going to push for more state or for more local control or not. Now, once you get that local control, that it's on you, right? So I think maybe some of them want it, maybe some of them don't. So it's going to be an interesting question.
Yeah, and, you know, it was Sonny Brasfield, who's been with the county commissions forever, was kind of, I think I read somewhere, you know, wanting to pump the brakes on some of these, you know, kind of one-size-fits-all, you know, paint with a broad brush solutions that are being posed out there.
Right, and, you know, they've always pushed for home rule, but, you know, once the ball is in your court, it's completely up to you. So home rule might sound good, but okay. So you're telling me that data center vote is completely on the counties? Well, that's a big deal. And also would say, you know, I've heard Tuberville talk about this. I think he's right to an extent. There is some hysteria out there about data centers and, you know, people responding to social media hysteria. I think there's a good bit of that going on. I don't know a whole lot about the flock camera situation, but certainly on data centers, I mean, these things are needed, period. There's certainly a lot of not in my backyard, but they got to go somewhere. And as long as we are addicted to our phones and addicted to all the social media and AI things that we're addicted to, then we're going to need them.
Yeah. And it just putting them in places where they're not, you know, maybe there's just not a lot of people, but then it looks like you're picking on these smaller counties. At least that's the perception that's being portrayed. But that's where it sounds like kind of the direction is going. Let's not put them in the middle of town. let's put them out here, maybe in the Black Belt or in, you know, Randolph County or some of these places kind of off the beaten path. And I mean, that's probably politically what they're going to have to do.
Oh, sure. And there's we've been following this project in Lowndes County, which is south of Montgomery. Can't get a lot more rural than Lowndes County, but folks there are, you know, pretty incensed that it's coming to their backyard. Now, their sense of a backyard is a little different than my sense of a backyard, but doesn't matter any less. So, yeah, it's something we're going to have to deal with. And, you know, I'm curious how much it kind of trickles up to the legislature and to Tuberville to see, and to the Public Service Commission, this new iteration of the Public Service Commission, this new Secretary of Energy, and how that all goes. It's going to be a brand new day come January.
Yeah, because the efforts, and we'll get chatting here on this, the efforts in this last session kind of felt, well, it's election year, and maybe election year politics are playing into it. You take that off the table, does that change the discussion? Does that change the parameters of what the legislature would be willing to do?
Well, I hope so, because I don't think these are important decisions, and I don't think they should be made politically, like, oh, gosh, I'm going to lose my election if I don't, you know, do this or that. Important public policy deserves introspection, deserves thoughtful, you know, consideration. So I would prefer if it, if they're not staring down the barrel of a, you know, reelection effort. So, you know, that typically happens in the first 2 years of a quadrennium.
Yeah, I think you're right. Todd, folks want to check out Alabama Daily News. They want to check out Capital Journal. Tell them how to do so.
That's right. Alabama Daily News online, aldailynews.com. You can go there and enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the mailing list. Capital Journal is tonight. We're going to be talking to Senator Katie Brett. Lots of these kind of issues we're going to be talking about. Also, Secretary of the Workforce, Greg Reed. So tune in tonight, Capital Journal, Alabama Public Television at 7:30.
Todd, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for coming on.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line. Texas Squirrel Marine, never underestimate where a terrorist could strike. And speaking of Democrats susceptible to effective messaging, this withered old hag with a Doug Jones sticker on her car cut me off as I was turning into the Fairhope Greers from Bancroft. She passed me driving in the liberal bike lane and parked on the blue lines, which wasn't a parking space. Get your people in check. I keep dealing with too many idiotic Fairhope drivers. I have, not necessarily with the political stripe, but I have sometimes frustrations with that as well. Yeah, just, you know, I can't wait till I'm elderly and drive that way. I'm being facetious. Let's keep going here. Flock and data center fear reflects our loss of faith in our institutions, but there is more. A poll of 25 countries looked at fear versus excitement over AI. United States was the most fearful of all nations. Interestingly, Israel is one of the most excited, at least fearful. Why do you think that is? I think it is because a story on AI per team folding doesn't get many hits. I don't know. Ultra Runner, I think in America, it's not quite that complicated. We do have freedoms. We do cherish our freedom. We do cherish our privacy. And in some of these Western countries, they just don't have that. The government's spying on me? Well, you know, this is what they've been doing for the last 1,000 years. Because the American experiment was so much different than anywhere else that it's ever been tried. With a focus on the individual. These countries, I think, that are excited about AI, the focus is on the collective, even if it's a quote-unquote democracy. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew.